Appreciate y'all coming this evening. You pray for Brother Brian. God to touch him. Help him tonight.
Just preach, son, in the name of the Lord.
Amen. Y'all tried to sneak in on it. Amen. Got you. Got a couple from our church, and it's good to have him here. Appreciate my wife. And I know there's a lot of folk who sing in this world, but to me, she ranks right up there at the top. At the top. The rest of you just trying to catch up to where she's at. And a lot of folk got talent, but they ain't got no God. And she got both. And she got a little of both, and a whole lot of both, let me say. And she got a lot of it. And I can get up here tonight and act like I ain't nervous. And that'd be a lie right off the bat. I'm a little nervous. And but be honest with you, when I talked to Brother Ken back in, I think it was October, I guess it was. He was over at Beulah, and we had talked about coming. And I preached a message at the church not long after that. I knew at that point that this is the message that God would have me to preach here. And today, of course, old devil tried to make me second guess that, and I flipped and turned and did the whole nine yards. But I'm going to try to just follow the leadership of the Lord here and do what's right. And but I appreciate all of you being here. Man, I don't guess there's no old people in this church. Everybody else looks young. Everybody looks young in here. And except old Brother Hubbard back there, because he told me he's still working. I thought he was dead. I didn't know. But he's still faithful. He's still serving God. And that's a good testimony to us young fellas, young couples, that it's worth the trip. It's worth every mile. And I appreciate your testimony. Yeah, Brother Herman, I do. And song said in just a few moments, Job lost all he had. Don't take long to get rid of everything we got. Lose it all, just a few moments, and we'll lose it all. A lot of families receive phone calls today and lost it all. Husband, spouse, or, you know, wife, children. Employer walk in one day, or your boss, and say, hey, it's over with. We're done. You ain't got a job. And some of you may have experienced that. Just a few minutes, you can think you've lost it all. I can lose my house tonight and lose my car. And truth be known, I could lose my wife. I could lose my family. But there's one thing I do know that I cannot lose. And that's what he gave me through my salvation, and that I'm thankful for tonight. I'm grateful for that. Good to have my mom and stepdad with me. My mom's a backbone for me, and I appreciate her, and I appreciate my stepdad being good to me. St. John chapter number 13 is where we'll be at tonight, and I appreciate you letting me come. I love Brother Ken, and I love Miss Renee and all their family. Miss Renee's got somebody's got her, and little Ollie Rebecca. The Lord blessed us, and of course, y'all, many of you know our story. Back in 2003, our first little girl was stillborn. At 37 weeks, boy, there's a lot of things physically I knew I couldn't handle, but mentally I thought I could whoop anything. Mentally, I thought I wasn't nothing I couldn't handle. But boy, you ain't never had to bury no little kid, your child, and that took me for a loop. But I found somebody faithful, and boy, I'm glad his promises are so true. But he blessed us, and the song said, "He, the Lord giveth, he taketh." He gave us a little girl, he took us, he blessed us with a little boy, Sammy's back there, and he gave us our little girl, Ollie Rebecca, and how I love my family. Familiar text to you tonight, St. John chapter 13, verse number 1. The writer says, "Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that this hour, his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. He's always a-doing something. And Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wish thee not, wash thee not, thou hast no part, no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. You can be seated tonight. I want to preach, if I can, on that phrase there in verse number 8, on no part. Preach on simply saying where he said, Peter, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And tonight I'm not preaching so much to a sinner crowd for somebody that's lost, but I remind you, if you do not know the Lord, you have no part. You can claim no part in heaven. You can't even claim no part to him answering your prayer. No part in fellowshipping with him. I don't care what you tell me. Tonight, God fellowships with his people. He's our Father. He likes the kinship, the relationship that he gave his son to die for us. But this is a message that I want to preach about concerning the will of God for your life and for my life. You always hear this crowd, Brother Ricky, that says, I'm hunting the will of God for my life. And there's been some times that I've not been sure of what the will of God is, but I'm just convinced that God ain't hiding it from me. I'm convinced the Word of God teaches us several things. He said it's the will of God not for you to fornicate. We ain't got to pray about that. He says that's pretty clear. Amen. I know he says it's the will of God in all things. Give him thanks. There's a lot of things we just ain't got to pray about. In crowd say, I testify if I'm led. Honey, you done been led. Amen. He done saved you, done something for your soul. Amen. Had died for you and did away with your sin. Amen. He said to him, let the redeemed say so. Amen. Go ahead and brag on him. You got a reason to tonight. He's saved you. But I want to deal tonight of knowing the will of God for your life and my life. It's always a question, but in my way of introduction, Paul, or the writer here, John, and writing the scriptures, he's talking about this occasion. He deals with some the exact time. He said his hour in verse number 1. Ain't you glad God knows what he's doing? He ain't going to move until it's his hour, until it's his minute, until it's his time. We think that he's late. We feel like he's early, but I promise you it's according to his time. He knows what's best for your life, and he knows what's best for my life. I was engaged once before I got engaged and married my wife, but I sure am glad I didn't go by my choosing. Amen. I'd messed it up. God knew the exact time, the right place. At least you say, preacher, you ought to pray about that. I felt like I did. But you better believe this old heart's deceptive. It'll deceive you and make you fall in some places where you think it's the will of God for your life, and you'll get ahead of God and mess up God's will for you if you ain't careful tonight. But there was the emotions of how that God, that Christ was attached to us. He said that he loved them until the end in the latter part of verse number 1. He got some feelings for us. Would you agree with that tonight? He feels for us. He loves us. And he cares for us. He loves us to the uttermost. But he was aware of who his enemy was. The Bible said in verse number 3, there was old Judas Iscariot. The Bible
Bible said that the devil, having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot. Let me say something. One of you wise people, it may be here, made that real statement, that smart statement about you need to keep your friends close and your enemies closer. And the Lord always knows where His enemies are. And tonight I want to tell you, that old devil, he's a liar. He's been a liar from the very beginning. He'll be a liar until the end. You say, preacher, I'm too spiritual to have him bother with me. Honey, that's the one he'll want. He's the one to mess up your life. You better watch him. He's a going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. There ain't nothing he'd rather do tonight than to come into your house and mess up your marriage and to take your kids down the wrong road and to come in Liberty Baptist Church and tear from one pew to the other pew. He's our enemy tonight, and you better watch him and mark him, because he's a zeroing in on you. He'll fill you like he did Ananias and Sapphira. Peter said, why have y'all let Satan fill your heart? You can be saved tonight. He won't possess you, but honey, you'll feel like you lost after he gets done with you. You better watch your enemy tonight. You better watch him. He's a looking to tear everything you got up. He's a looking to get you out of the will of God tonight. And I remind you, there's been folk sitting on the same pew that you're sitting on tonight, somewhere in the past, who said, I'll never quit. I'll never walk away. I'll serve him till my dying day. I'll serve him till my last breath. Honey, somewhere tonight, they're scratching a lotto ticket somewhere. They're thinking about that outdoor channel. They're watching the Pro Bowl. They used to be preachers and deacons and Sunday school teachers and song leaders and choir members, but they got caught up sleeping with the enemy somewhere along the way. Didn't watch your enemy. Wasn't aware of the foe. Underestimated the power of the devil. I understand tonight the Lord's give us great power. He's a heft us, but in myself and yourself, we're no match. Honey, if Abraham can fall, David can fall, some of the mightiest men in that Bible can fall. Honey, I'm convinced I can. And you can. Better beware of our enemy tonight. But also, he says, so he talks about eternity a little bit, deals with the forever here, deals with the future in verse number 4, talking about Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands and that He was come from God. And went to God. He knew his destination. He knew all about his beginning. And he knew the plan for us. And he knew what the future held for his life. And the Lord was on everything working. And but then he goes down to where I want to get to tonight. We know it to be very familiar scripture. I had a lady the other day, and I hope she didn't sneak in, amen, because I'm going to be in a mess here if I do. But she said, she walked in the church the other day, and she said, it's about time we learn how to wash some feet. Uh-huh. I said, oh. And honey, I thought in my mind, I learned that when I was a kid. I learned how to, amen, I bathe them all the time. And she said, well, I just thought the Lord wanted me to tell you that. Strike one. Hey, Sandy, I'm going to get to that because, listen, everybody, there's a lot of folks that'll throw a wash pan in front of your feet in a hurry. And it ain't the washing the feet that's important here. We're talking about cleansing of the hearts. That's what we're going to get to tonight. It's where the Lord's teaching us some things here. And listen, tonight it's a surrender and submissiveness to the will of God has always and always will be a problem for the children of God. Listen, I don't know how many preachers that you hear, but most of them said they ran from the calling of God. There may be one here tonight, the first time the Lord dealt with your heart to preach, you surrendered right then and there. But most of them, 99.9% say, I ran, honey, you can run all you want to. He ain't chasing you. When you get tired of running, He's going to be there when you stop. He knows where you're going to stop at, so He's just going to meet you there and say, what took you so long? He's going to have it. It's always been a problem, and it ain't amazing in the Word of God of how there can be a multitude of people I mean, tonight, and this is what I want to get to. I don't know how many people's here. I don't know. But out of all this crowd, I want the Lord to single in on somebody. You read your Bible. They're all through the Bible. Honey, I don't care if it was when he was feeding the 5,000. There was emphasis on that one little old lad. He went to that pool of Bethesda. He emphasized that one little that man who had that issue or that infirmity for 38 years. And that big crowd, there was that woman who had the issue of blood. He always singled out somebody. You ever been at a camp meeting? You been in church? I mean, this place might hold 400 folk. I don't know how many place holds, but you ever felt like that preacher done read your mail? He's appointed you out. Oh, honey, yeah, if you don't get that from time to time, something wrong with you. It ain't the preaching, it's you. We feel like we get above that preaching every now and then. We got it all figured out, don't we? Know all about it. And so here we are tonight listen, I done got to the church where just about now I'll point somebody else. I'll say, hey, I'm preaching to you. You the song leader. Amen. I'm going to preach to you tonight. All right? Just to you. That way everybody else can leave here and say, he didn't preach to me. I preached to this fellow right here. I did that the other day to a lost boy. And didn't know he lost. Man, that joke, his wife done tied me on the computer. And said, my boy want to know how come you picked him out. Maybe the Holy Ghost picked him out. I was just doing it as a joke. So tonight I want to look at Peter about knowing the will of God for our life and emphasizing the word no part about our life. And if I were to ask everybody in here, how many of you know you're in the perfect will of God? Some of you would raise your hand. How many of you know what the will of God is? Some of you would raise your hand. But if I said, how many of you have no earthly idea what the will of God is for your life? There'd be several folks raise their hand. So tonight I want to deal with Peter. He had some defiled feet here in this issue, in this story. He had some defiled feet, and you know the custom. You know how their custom was that when they came in and they didn't have honey, they wasn't wearing floor shines. They didn't have a good pair of Reebok or Nike on when they was walking these old dusty trails. Honey, they had them old sandals. And I'm glad I didn't live in that day. But they'd walk, and when they'd come into that house, it was custom for the servant to wipe their feet and wash them off and to take care of them. And Peter is the one the Lord's going to draw out here. And he dealt with the defiled feet of Peter. And I want to look at the nature of Peter for a second. And he was a privileged man. Peter was a man that had privileges. He was a man who had heard the word of God preached. He was a man that had been in some of the best meetings and he had seen the wonderful works of God. Many of you have sit here Sunday after Sunday and you've seen people without a doubt lap this place. People shout and run from the choir and the man of God preached so hard until he collapses from preaching. We're privileged tonight in who we are. The way that God has blessed us. There's people tonight sitting in dead churches all around this place and back home where we live. And honey, we sit here every Sunday taking for granted the things that God's done for us and the privileges. But let me say this tonight. Honey, he did some things for me when I was lost that I don't need to forget. The times he let me get home and I wasn't sure how you'd get home. The times maybe your wife should have left you, but she didn't leave you. The time your husband should have walked out the door on you, or maybe defects should have come and got your youngins from the way that you lived. But God somehow in his providence watching over you, he took care of you. And all through your life, and looking back, you can see the hand of God doing things when you thought you was in control. I want to realize he was doing some things in your life. There was a defilement here. He was a privileged man, but he was also a very prominent man. I don't know how many of you tonight could name all 12 disciples. I might get 6, 7 of them. But there's one I got. Everywhere that you mention, when it starts listing the disciples, many times it says Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John. He went up to the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord. He was in the room when he healed Peter's mother-in-law. It was Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John. Peter was a man that was prominent among the disciples. Let me remind you tonight, being up front comes with great, great, great responsibilities. Everybody wants to be the lead dog till they find out, amen, it ain't always what it's made out to be. Everybody can always pastor better than the pastor. Everybody can always deacon better than the deacon. Everybody can lead the choir better than the choir leader, song leader. Everybody knows how to do it till they get up there and do it and scratch their head. Everybody can tell you how to clean them sound a little. Boy, them sound a little look dirty. Look, there's a light bulb out right there. And I'm sure somebody else has already noticed that. Well, I wonder. Amen. Well, I better watch what I'm finna say right here. Outside of him. Who you think don't get up there and do it? I'm sure all these lights way up there, y'all got to have a special light changing day. But the thing is, everybody can come in, they can see the carpet needs to be vacuumed. They can see something needs to be dusted. But it's always somebody else's responsibility. Far as I know, we can all hold that dust rag. Far as I know, that vacuum cleaner fit in our hand, too. Amen. Everybody says, hey, I want to be that prominent one. Hey, Peter found out always up front ain't the best place to be. I find myself like Peter sometimes. There's times I feel like I can walk on water. Then those times when I feel like I'm going under. Times I say, God, I'm going with you all the way to the end. Next time I'm wanting to cuss. I said, want to. I didn't say, do it. I said, want to. Well, if I thought, I might as well say it. Two wrongs don't make a right. You ain't got to let everybody know what you're thinking. Jesus was, Peter was prominent in who he was. He was out there up front and he was a leader. And he said, hey, maybe Jesus loved him more. No. Maybe Peter loved Jesus more than everybody. See, it ain't about that. Because see, it's always in this day that we live in. So, oh, there's a clique that runs that church. There's a group that runs that church. Hey, listen to me. It may not be the Peter, James, and Johns of the church who want to show up and do it all. It may not be they the clique, it may just be they the one doing the work. Peter, James, and John, he had some defiled feet. He was a leader. He had privilege. He was prominent. And don't think tonight that you can't get defiled just because you up front. You gotta watch yourself tonight. There's a nature of Peter. That's who he was. Most of the disciples were unknown. You don't hear a whole lot about them. There's unknown saints tonight all over the place. Listen, some of you tonight, I know your faces more than others, and I know names because I see you up here. I see you leading singing. I see you leading the choir. I know who Brother Ken is. I know the associate. Tonight, there's certain ones of you that are prominent. You stick out above everybody else. Because you're in leadership. And you know tonight that devil don't want to do nothing. He ain't going to start tearing up somebody in the back. He wants somebody up front. So that he can scar their life. Somebody well known in the community. He's prominent. His nature. But see, he had a need in his life. He needed his feet cleansed. But tonight I wonder if anybody here realize your need tonight. His was defiled feet. I wonder what your need is. What's my need tonight? Of trying to know the will of God for our lives. See, these boys here, they was dealing all with one thing. And it what hinders a lot of our churches, every one of these boys had an issue with pride. Every last one of them. Every last one of them. Say, preacher, I don't believe that. You read all through the scriptures, man, that right before this, they was arguing over who's going to be the greatest. Well, I want to sit on the right hand, one on the left. I want to be, I want to know. We want to know who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Which one of us is the greatest? You ever look at yourself in the mirror and say, well, I wonder how good I do preach. Boy, I do. I know I can sing. Oh, my. See, we got in our mind
that we want to protect the world from seeing certain sins. As long as we ain't doing the certain sins that everybody sees, it ain't what they ain't seeing, it's what they are not seeing. It's that bitterness, it's that jealousy, it's that callousness, that pride, and that's on the inside that we come in here to act humble and low, but on the inside we're full of hell. Wonder how come God can't move. Everybody wearing the long dresses and the ties and the nice church clothes. Honey, it don't make a difference if you wear a pair of overalls in here with holes in them. If you got God, amen, that's what you need more than anything else. Honey, if wearing that suit makes you get a little pride in your life, honey, go back to that old country pair of overalls and the last dress you got, honey, wear it every blessed Sunday. It ain't, listen, God ain't so much as concerned on your outsides. He is your inside. And that's what these boys had a problem with. Honey, they'd been in the best meetings they'd ever been. They was under the best teacher there ever was. And yet, even these boys had some defilement. They was in a mess. They was defiled. I wonder tonight, is there anything amongst us that would hinder us from seeing God moves? There's a lack of evidence of some things in our church. And I think one of the greatest things that people that we miss seeing in our church is an evidence of grace. Us preachers preach about that grace all the time. People testify about the grace of God all the time. But you let somebody mess up and there ain't no more grace. It's all, bless God, it's a law. Listen, there's some things I've done since I've been saved I deserve being in hell for. Yeah, take that halo off. I'm in the same words you are. Preach, I don't sin, honey. Listen, if you ever been tied behind somebody going 25 mile an hour down a place when you in a hurry to get somewhere, you lying. They don't call it road rage for no reason. These boys had a need while they was arguing. While they was arguing over who's going to be the greatest. I imagine there was a great silence that came up on that room. When they were sitting there ready to eat, looking around, they was all eyeballing one another. So I ain't washing your feet. Too good to do that. I'm Peter. I'm John. I'm James. I ain't doing that. I'm one of the sons of thunder. I ain't doing that. Listen, you better not ever get to a place where you can't do some things. Honey, I'll be honest with you. I'd rather flush that commode and get gum off the bottom of these pews than I do anything I can and get to a place where I say I can't do anything. They had defiled feet, but the problem was pride. Tonight, I don't know what your issue is or my issue is. I know what mine may be. But tonight, I'm going to tell you something. We all got some drawing closer we can do. See, it didn't stop with defiled feet. The problem was a heart issue. He had a defiant heart. He had a defiant heart. See, here, there was a refusal here. The Lord done told him. He said, hey, Peter, I'm finna wash your feet. And you imagine the silence. Silence. You can hear silence. It's deafening. Oh, yeah, it's deafening. Can you imagine when they got to a place, the Lord took off that robe. He got his little towel. Started going from disciple to disciple. Comes old Peter. He says, Lord. He said, I don't think so. Peter refused the will of God for his life. Real small thought. All the Lord wanted to do was wipe his feet. Peter said, never. The word never is a double negative. It means no never. It means not now. It means not tomorrow. It means not next year. It means never, ever, as long as I'm breathing. Will you ever wash my feet?
How many of us tonight have ever refused the will of God for our life? You refuse to admit that God's called you to preach. You refuse to admit that God wants you to sing, that God wants you to testify, that hey, you're refusing the will of God for your life. All he wanted to do was wipe his feet. He was trying to teach him a lesson. Peter, in his defiant heart, said, hey, ain't no way. How many of you ever left here and knowing the preacher's done, ain't none drug that plow deep in your field and my field? And you said, hey, I don't care, bless God, what he says. I'm going to keep drinking. I'm going to keep fornicating. I'm going to keep shacking up. I'm going to keep living like hell. I ain't going to get right. I ain't going to tithe. I ain't going to wear the proper dress. I ain't going to do this. I ain't going to do that because of a defiant heart. Because you refuse the will of God. Refuse Him. The Lord, I'm taught it ought to be a humbling thought just to think Jesus is on His knees. Wiping the shoes, no dirty. I'm talking about toe jam. I'm talking about nasty feet. I ain't talking about taking them off after we done had on our gold toes and floor sanding. I'm talking about nasty. Miles of walking and nothing but dust. Smell. He thought himself not robbery. He humbled himself. Tonight, refusing the will of God for your life. Refusing to be faithful to the house of God. Refusing. Just to listen. Refusing to forgive somebody. Oh, I forgive them. Why don't you speak to them?
Yeah.
Yes, God. I forgive them. How come you see them in Walmart? You see them down this side. You just take your buggy on down this side. Bowden ain't no big old town from what I've seen coming through. You ain't going to get away from them on the sidewalk in Bowden. Oh, you're refusing the will of God, your life and my life. But see, there's a risk in that refusal. See, listen, never's not a bad word all the time. The Lord said, I'll never hunger. He said, I'll never thirst. He said, He'd never leave me. He'll never forsake me. Never ain't such a bad word. But it was in this case. There's a risk that was involved. He said, Peter, if I don't do this. He said, I know you don't understand what I'm doing right now. He said, you're going to. He said, but Peter, if I don't do this, you Peter right now, don't you know? He said, Peter, if you don't do this, you'll have no part with me. No part. He didn't say, Peter, you're lost. He didn't say, Peter, you're going to die and go to hell. Peter's already saved. He's right with God. I mean, as far as his salvation. He said, Peter, you're going to have no part of me. He said, preacher, what do you mean? I'm saying if you refuse the will of God for your life, you can stay in the house of God the rest of your days and still have no part with the Lord Jesus Christ. Busy, 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 and still having no part. Say, preacher, hi, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the service of you. You feel like the rapture's about to take place in here, and all you can do is look at your watch wondering what time you're going to get out. You saved tonight, but you can go back to a place in your heart where you said no to the will of God in your life, and now you're miserable. Everybody else is shouting because they're in the will of God. Everything's flowing good for them. But because 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, somewhere you said, God, no, never will you wash my feet. No, never will I make it right. No, never will I do this or never do that. And because of then, you've taken a risk of Him withdrawing fellowship. And if you can live a Christian life, supposedly a saved life outside the fellowship of God, I'll tell you, you've never been born again. Listen, I love y'all folk. I don't know most of you. I know faces. Does Chris Dunson still go here? Where's he at?
Really, I thought it may be. I didn't know he wasn't here. Is that what y'all laughing about? Well, edit that part, whoever does this. I know his name, and I know his face. I hurt my feelings. He knew I was coming. He didn't come. Well, I'm sure he will. Sure he will. Kind of got a feeling he will. But the truth is tonight, listen, we need to be careful of saying no to the will of God. It can be something real small. It can be something real big. Now, listen, I don't care what it is. It may be something in your life that I think is small. But it's big for you. Somebody that's never testified in church and the Lord telling them to get up and testify, that's a big thing. Standing up in a crowd this big. Well, I tell you one of the things that broke, I swore them down I'd never testify again, preacher. I stood up in a little cottage prayer meeting. First time I'd ever stood up was in a little mill village house. And I stood up and I wanted to testify and I testified. One of my buddies had gotten killed in high school. And man, all I know to do is pray. I had no earthly idea. I was in it. And honey, some old woman come running up there at me. And always miss spirits. And she got to loving on me, hugging on me. Hey, I didn't want that. It was just a move for me just to stand up and brag on God. I mean, don't make it worse. I understand maybe he had the right motive, but listen, just me getting up to make a move. Don't ever make a move. Listen, I don't care if they sputter, spit, get the wrong word out. Don't make a mockery of what they're doing. Young preacher try to get up and do the will of God. Mind, hey, he may not be as wide open and loud and this, that, and other. His whole message, he may have 5 pages and it take him a minute to get done with it. Brag on him a little bit. Don't sit there and make fun of him. But when he told him, he said, you're going to have no part with me. That changed Peter's attitude. See, he made a desperate cry at that point. He said, oh, Lord. He said, not my feet only. My hands and my head. See, there was a truth that was unbearable to him. Because he'd been in some good places with the Lord. Peter said, I don't want to lose that fellowship. Oh, I miss it. I want it. Somebody may be sitting here tonight. You remember that you used to shout. You remember that you used to just smile. You enjoyed telling somebody about your Damascus Road experience. You enjoyed that. The Lord's, and you know, somewhere over the years, we've got tired of telling it. See, Peter went to the extreme. Here now, he got to the place. See, he just didn't say, Lord, no, never. He got to the place where he started telling him how to do it. He said, Lord, not just my feet. You ain't just going to wash my feet. He said, I want you washing my hands and my head. He said, I want you to get me. All right, so what I want to boil down to this point here is that you're going to have to face Christ with your defiant heart. Talking to John about this wasn't going to help Peter. Lord comes down to Peter sitting in Candace's conference. Listen, we hear all this stuff all the time about us coming to the cross and getting at Jesus' feet. But this situation's different. He's at your feet. He's at your feet tonight. Said, I don't know what that is. Tonight, Peter's was washing his feet. I've named several things tonight. May have not named yours, but the Lord's just saying, if you don't get this right tonight, there's going to be no part with me. No part. How many of you is willing to take that chance tonight? You're willing to walk out of here, knowing that if you do, there's no more fellowship. There's no more smiling, no more sharing the tears with the brethren. No more enjoying the preaching. You can put that front on tonight and say, oh, I'm right with God. But in your heart. See, he was willing to cleanse Peter's feet with a cloth. But he'll cleanse ours with the cross. Saying no to the will of God.
Can I give an invitation? You, I got liberty. Robin, I want you to come. Surrendering it all. Surrendering it all. Peter said, no, never. I believe there's people in a grave tonight because they said, no, never, God. You'll never do that. He was teaching these boys about humility. And all the silence when he got on his knees started going around the room. And I believe when he got to Peter, he knew Peter was going to say something. Peter was always fly off at the mouth. A lot of Baptists I know like that. There's times I'm one of them. I'll be honest with you. There's some times I've hurt more folks in my mouth. And I often wondered if Jesus would have talked to these folks like I have. Because when he got down at Peter's feet, I don't believe he said, Peter, if you don't get right with me, you'll have no part. But I believe he just looked up with those eyes and said, Peter, if you don't let me do this, there'll be no part. Real soft. See, listen, there's some things this world's going to have to see before they're going to listen. They're going to have to see grace. They're going to have to see truth before they're going to listen to you. They want to listen to your tone. They'll take truth, but the tone makes a world of difference. The tone. Hey, there may be some times when yelling gets it done. I'm all for that. Listen, there's times my little boy, I can say, Sammy, don't. Sammy, don't. Sammy, don't. I say, Sam, I'm going to whoop your blessed tail. You do that one more time. Business picks up. There's times when you can talk them through. And there's times when this is an old-fashioned honey whooping's going to take care of it. But what I'm saying tonight, we ain't manned that all the way through the house. The Lord's speaking to you softly tonight, saying, let's get this right. Let's get this right before it gets rough. Before things start cutting off. Before he starts cutting that spigot off on your joy and your happiness. If you ever think about that sombering thought of Jesus at your feet, So I preach, I'm too far in the back. Honey, Jesus, if he was here and you had an issue, he'd come all the way to the back. How many of you tonight willing to take that chance? Saying, preacher, I'll just live without it. I'll just live without his fellowship. I'll live without that joy. Brother Ricky, I've been in those places where sin filled my heart as a Christian. And I didn't have it. Listen, you ain't going to live like hell and the joy of the Lord still be in your soul. You're not going to live in the defiance of the Scriptures. And act like he's just blessing us all over the place. And I'm not saying things tonight. Listen, I'm not trying to preach hard to a church. I'm not trying to. My heart tonight with everything in me is trying to make sure and want to see the people of God where they're supposed to be. Not saying no, but yes. Yes. To the things of God. Listen, I knowed I was going big time tonight when I was coming through that road. Whatever that main road is, that 166, I guess. I don't know if that's what that is. That's big road, Main Street, Bowden. And I seen that big old billboard out there. It said Liberty Baptist Church. Boy, this, you know you somebody. You got that billboard up there. What I seen on it was a picture of the church. I seen a picture of the church. It wasn't a picture of an individual. It was the picture of the church.
the whole body, the building, and I understand what that represents us. Not just one man, it represents us. And what you say to the will of God will affect us. It'll affect us tonight. A lot of folks in hell tonight because a lot of folks who said they was going to heaven because of where they lived in front of them, how they carried themselves. You ever ruined your testimony at the drive-thru at McDonald's? When they put pickles on your burger? Somebody can say amen right there. When that laugh comes out real loud, somebody's been down that road. Tonight, with all seriousness, you've come in here, visitors have come in here, and they look for somewhere to sit. Honey, we act like we had a Bowden High School football game reserving seats with blankets, this, that, and other. Ain't got nobody name on none of these pews, do. Listen, I tell you what, it'd probably do some of you good to sit way back here, move up a little bit. And then, don't you get mad. Well, I ain't coming back. You know, I don't. Yeah, but it'd probably do something this side to move on that side. It'd probably do good to get out there. Listen, we done sat in some of these seats so long, these things done warped around our hinnies. I shall not be moved. People come in there and they... God's calling your name tonight. Said, I want to wash your feet. I want you to bring it to me. I want you to come. He said, all I want to do is teach you something, help you. I want you to stay in the will of God. So I want to stand to our feet tonight. That's all on my heart. I want you to know I love you. But if anybody in here, you'd be honest and say, preacher, somewhere along the way, I said no to His will. If He'd still let me serve Him, I still want to give Him everything I got. Because once a person ever says no, it's hard to regain that back. Obedience is better than sacrifice. So now as the sister sings, I'm done. I just want to give you your chance. Would you come listen to the Lord? Listen to Him sing this right.